Welcome to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. I'm your host, Julia Jorn, and I live and work in Round Top in beautiful Greene County. Come along with me as I meander through the Hudson Valley, the Northern Catskills, the Capital Region, and beyond to interview the people behind the special spots and hidden gems that make our area of New York State and our collective community both distinct and diverse. You'll likely discover that you don't have to travel too far to pay them a visit. They may already be in your own backyard or just around the corner. And I'll bet their place might turn out to be that one certain destination you keep meaning to check out. So I'm here to remind you, put it on your list. Together we'll meet shop owners and small business owners, curators, designers, and artists, chefs, farmers, and culinary experts, and other creative entrepreneurs. We'll hear their own personal stories, learn about their unique offerings, and hit them up for their own local recommendations. Thanks for listening. Today I'm in Windham to meet with Zairi and May, co-owners of The Knitting Room, which opened in 2018 right next door to Mountain Breeze Yoga. Here in this yarn shop, you can discover fine indie fiber brands, handcrafted garments, and locally sourced crafts. Whether it's a crocheting project or a knitting class, this is the place for creative inspiration and encouragement, and all beginners are welcome too. So first of all, how did the two of you meet and end up in Windham?
That's two different stories. Should we start at the end, how we ended up in Windham?
Sure. In 2015, I bought a weekend house here in Windham. We wanted to snowboard over the winters, and we got a fixer-upper. And once everything was fixed up, and I discovered I don't like snowboarding, I got the idea of opening a yarn store, which is something that Zairi and I had talked about and wanted to do years back. And when I reached out to her and she agreed to do it, we opened it, and after a year of driving back and forth from the city, and she was staying at our place for the weekends, and, you know, it's so tiring to work the entire week and then have to drive up on a Friday night and open it Saturdays and Sundays and drive back to the city and work again Monday through Friday. So we did that for a year, and then she moved up here.
And you're both here full-time?
No,
or you're still back and forth?
Me, hi, I'm Zairi. I'm here full time because I don't like to travel. And I was really ready to move out of my place with roommates in Brooklyn. And I love the mountains. And I just wanted to be here and just drive 7 minutes to the store.
Zairi really practices mindfulness in her life, for sure. I learned a lot from how still she could get, and with this perspective, learned that I do too much. So hopefully one day I will be here full time.
That's interesting. But I, as a non-knitter, would think of knitting as both sides of that story. One, mm-hmm. as a way to calm down and take time to pause, where if you're already very mindful and already in the zone, it kind of keeps you there. Is that how you discovered knitting, or was it making things in a previous experience professionally?
I learned how to knit from my grandmother, and so I knew how to do it. It was within my skills, and I've never practiced it because I was, you know, a teenager, and it's not cool to knit, and like life takes over and you get busy, and it wasn't what it is today. There wasn't like knitting culture. It was just like, if you were a knitter, you could go and get like your boring yarn and make your boring patterns. And I got really sick, and lucky for me, I had a roommate that was knitting, a knitter, and I was like, I can do this. And she gave me a refresher. And I think why it caught on for me was because I'm the kind of person that needs to do something all the time. And it provides an activity that you could do while you're resting. It used to be like that with books. Mm-hmm. I used to go everywhere with a book. So there's never an idle time. If I'm waiting for someone, if I'm in the subway, if I'm, you know, early somewhere, I would read my book. And now it's about knitting.
I also used to read a lot, but I don't that much anymore because now okay. My hands are busy with the knitting. I learned when I was 14. I was with my second cousin, who was just a bit older. And And she told me and my sister that we have to figure out what to do without her. And so, because we were like, what should we do today? She's like, let me teach you how to knit. So I kept doing that, and I taught myself how to crochet, I think with a book. Back then, there was only books, you know, no YouTube. And I do enjoy making things, and I never thought of myself as an artist. I'm very science-oriented. I'm really good at math, and I like mysteries and puzzles. Turns out knitting is all that stuff. And then, actually, going back to how me and May met, we met in a wardrobe department on a film. And so I got into film, and we both learned how to sew. We worked for costume shops, made stuff for theater, for Broadway. And I used to love making clothes. And so knitting just became part of that making. And then I'm like, I can make things better. And then I became obsessed. It was during a hiatus, we shall call it. In between film jobs, May introduced me to this lovely knitting cafe in New York City, which is no longer there, but we used to meet every day and just become better at knitting and just chat. That's where we became friends.
Oh, a great connector to share something like that and be able to also talk while you're doing something.
I used to be really shy and I didn't know how to meet people, but I found out through knitting I can meet people because we have something in common. It's so painful to go to like parties and events, but at least you have your knitting and they ask you what you're making.
I'm interested in what you call the knitting culture.
Right. There has been kind of the same thing that happens in every industry. There are knitwear designers that are celebrity in their field, and there are Instagram influencers that promote knitting, and moreover, in the real world, there has been like a growing conversation about racism and what does it mean to be a knitter of a certain type. There was a lot of talk about inclusivity and about diversity, and also what it means to be an independent producer, which is different than the factory produced yarn or the big mills, that there's less and less of them in America and more in Europe. What does it mean to support producers that are local? What does it mean to have fiber that is made in America or made locally? And what's the worth of that fiber? Yes, you can get acrylic that is really cheap and will be sturdy and machine washable and soft, but it's not eco-friendly and it's not sustainable and it will cost you $3. And it's probably manufactured somewhere where people are, you know, not getting fair wages. Or you can invest in yarn that is gonna last forever, and the joy is not gonna be about knitting it. It's gonna be about knowing that you have something that is sustainable and has put money in local pockets.
I love the parallels to like the slow food movement.
Yeah. But yeah. I agree, because people don't really know where their food comes from, and they don't really know where their clothes come from. Mm-hmm. And it's not our fault we don't know that. It just appears. Mm-hmm. Even when I learned how to sew, I thought if you made your own clothes, they were inferior to what you got in the store, and it's not true. I feel like hand knitting your own, or crocheting, or making your own clothes is like making your own food at home. It's always better. You have to decide if you want to do it.
And also comes from the heart. And how have you found that knitting community and knitting culture here in upstate New York, in the Northern Catskills? Did you expect to find it, or did you build this place and said they will come?
We just wanted a yarn store for ourselves to come and knit. And I was thinking, well, what a great place to just like have a studio. The rent was low enough that I was thinking it's not a huge risk. And Zaire was on board. She wanted to start her own business anyways that was going to be related to knitwear and knitting or fiber. And I didn't know anyone in town at that point. I knew no one. Whoever we came into and said, we are opening a knitting cafe, they'd look at us with like these two question mark eyes saying, what?
I would say, yes, please. But I love that it's like you're part studio, part your own clubhouse, but also an incredible resource for the local community here. There isn't anything else like this.
I needed it. I needed it badly because the winters are so long. And if you don't do any winter sports, then you're indoors in the dark all day long. And it's cold. And it's cold in my house.
Never. Hey, this is your own winter sport. Knitting. Yeah. All the time with all this beautiful, beautiful material around here. Should we walk around and talk about a couple of your favorite things?
This is Clinton Hill Cashmere, which is owned and started by my new friend, Becky. I met Becky at Vogue Knitting Live a few years ago. I was looking for a kind of thick cashmere. I wanted to do this charity cashmere hat. And thick cashmere is hard to find because I think because it's more expensive than a thin one. Anyway, at that time, I lived in Clinton Hill, Brooklyn, and so did she. And then she came to my knitting group and just really connected. I love her story. She used to work in a yarn store and she wanted to make her own yarn. Once she was starting her new family, she was like, this is a time I can now break away from working with other for other people and make my own company. She was always very supportive of us and our business. And I just love supporting women who are independent. I mean, she had this dream and she did it, and it's amazing.
These are beautiful. The typical colors you might think of when you think of cashmere, like black and pencil gray, but this yellow color, this pink, purple, orange, olive.
Yeah, and with one ball, you can make a hat, and it's lovely and soft and luxurious on your head.
We try to really pick everything carefully. So whenever we decide to reach out to a company, it has to be either independently owned or hand-dyed or has some kind of value that aligns with our core values. And then we go to the colors. So if there wasn't a yarn that I really, really loved and wanted in my personal stash, it wouldn't be in the store.
Do you want to talk about Cake since she's in Saugerties?
Sure. Cake is hand-dyed by Alyssa. And so this is like the real pull of owning this yarn store is that you really get to have the means to support local mothers and local independent manufacturers, and that's really satisfying.
I love the name Cake.
Cake, yeah. Cake, she apparently dyes her yarns in colors of confectionery.
They are also yummy.
They do make me hungry.
They do make me hungry. Too. Yeah. And then just speaking of sweets, do you want to talk about your cafe since it's your hangout here?
We wanted to open the cafe because we wanted to really reinforce the idea that you can stay here and knit at any time. Mm-hmm. And because there is nothing around us, it's not like customers could go next door and get their coffee or their snack. And if they wanted to sit here for like a 4-hour class, they would get faint, as I would too.
So speaking of hanging out here, I can't wait to come back, and I'm going to take a class.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in to Hudson Valley Word of Mouth. If you're interested in checking out an ongoing list of local recommendations, or if you have recommendations of your own to share, go to my Instagram at Roundtop Recommends, or visit the Wave Farm website at wavefarm.org for the Hudson Valley Word of Mouth segment archives and how to reach me. Talk to you next time.